Good morning. Well, we had a wonderful weekend, didn't we, ladies? Didn't we? Those of us that were able to come out to our Love Life retreat this weekend, we had a virtual women's retreat. We had a great time sharing time together. And I want to thank those that were able to come out and spend time with us. It was a blessing and very refreshing. I told them I missed them this morning. I missed seeing their faces when I got up and getting hugs and praying with them in the mornings. It was beautiful. But I want to take a moment. All our men, anybody, not just the men. I just know a lot of the guys go out and that have worked out at Vesper Hills. Stand up. All of that you worked out at Vesper Hills. But all of you, we say thank you. Thank you. It was beautiful, wasn't it, ladies? And to be able to go out there and have that place that God's blessed us with, we thank you so much. We know what a sacrifice it is to keep up the property, to keep up, you know, and this year I know the grass hasn't really grown, but it is a sacrifice to keep it up. And what God has given us, he's placed people at this church to do the work that he's called us to do. And it was greatly blessed this weekend. And the girls, we just lavished in your love that you've placed here and took care of that. So we wanted to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. 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 You deserve acknowledgement and praise for it. So, well, I want to thank the Evans too. I was like, we're only going to spend one night because I, you know, I've got some things I needed to do. But the Evans girls, April was like, we're going to have 3 days. And I'm like, April. She's like, we'll go out. It's fine. It's fine. So I wanted to thank you guys for going out there and so they could have an extra night out there too. But yes, everybody. David and Wayne took care of the food. And I know they're not here. They're visiting David's son in Myrtle Beach. So, but we'll definitely next Sunday, we'll be thanking them too, because it was a marvelous, magnificent time. We're going to do it again next year. And we're going to do it again next year. So it was great. I hope that those that you weren't able to come, that you'll try to make it out. Even if it's an afternoon or a day, if you can't make it all three, you don't have to commit to all three. It was just as you can come out and enjoy it, because God gifted us with this, and we're going to use it. Yeah. Champions is putting one on for the ladies. Thank you, Tina. We had a great time. And I know you'll have a great time then, too. We'll get flyers for that one, too. I know there's some around, but I just don't know where they are. Yes. Well, and it's our time, girls. It's our time, girls, to bless the guys, because they blessed us. So we're going to have to bless the guys. We'll make sure we'll be a blessing to them as much as they were a blessing to us. But October 19th is going to be the hayride that we had last year out there, and the chili cook-off that we had last year, our big winners. Yeah, we're going to have another chili cook-off, and we'll do the s'mores then. Prayer requests, if those of you that have personal prayer requests or needs, we will meet after the service and anoint you and pray over you together. I know we have a lot of needs. God continues. He continues to be our provider. He continues to be our healer. He just likes that connection. He likes that relationship. And it's not that he doesn't already know what's going on, but he needs to hear from us. But we do have specific prayer needs, and continue to pray for Marsha, her brother, and for her sister. We lift her up. Pastor Jeff and Tina, continue to see improvements, continue to pray for them. And we just love them. I know that some of you may not have met Pastor Jeff and Tina, but all that is happening, all that you're seeing, is the seeds that were sown by Pastor Jeff and Tina. And it's just coming into fulfillment through what they cultivated within us as a church, me as a pastor or just a girl that was under their care, because that's all I am is just a girl that was under their care. And so I just wanted to make sure that those of you that have not ever met Pastor Jeff and Tina, what you're seeing is really their work that they did through this church. So just bless them, pray for them, and individual prayer needs. I know we have a lot, and we'll come down to the altar and we'll pray together at the end. Okay, let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise him. All his angels praise him. All his hosts, his armies praise him. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all the stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens and the waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created. He has established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. Let the praise of the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted and supreme. His glory and majesty are above the earth and heaven. He has lifted up a horn for his people, giving them strength, prosperity, dignity. Praise for all his godly ones, for the people of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Let's go to the Lord this morning. Father God, we do. We praise you. We come into this place. We come into this house and we lift up your name. We exalt you as our heavenly Father. We exalt you as our Jehovah Jireh. We exalt you for our healer over all things. And we just thank you so much that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to be our Messiah, that he died on the cross for our sins, that we would be made righteous. And you not only did that, but you placed all things under his authority, that no matter what comes into our lives, authority has been given over to Jesus Christ, and we place our faith in him, and we come into this house, no matter what our week has brought us, and we turn it over. And I ask that this time be set apart, that we set this time apart in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, that we dedicate this to you, that we open up our heart to receive from you what it is that you have for us this morning to receive, and that it's just not for us, Lord. It is for us to give back to others so they are able to see you, your work through us. I lift Paul up to you this morning. I pray over his message that you have given him, that you've placed in him. And we thank you so much for the work that he does for us and the praise band as they lead us into this time of worship and praise. We just thank you so much that each and every week they share their gifts with us. And we just singing those praises to you, exalting you. And it's all about you, Lord. And bless the hands of the work of your service this week, all those hands that have prepared your church for the work of your service. We just ask that you bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. What's praise, church? I'm sorry. What? What is praise? Praise is not quiet. Now not the time to be quiet. Amen, amen, amen. Our greeting is from John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. His life brought light to everything. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Amen. 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 And Lord, during this time in our present history, no truer words can be said but to trust and obey. We walk into the shadows of the times that we are living in, the uncertainties of the time that we're living in. We know the solid foundation and the rock upon we stand is Jesus Christ, and we trust and obey, and there is no other way. And Lord, you call us to be givers. You call us to be partners with you, to contribute to building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, with not only our time and our talents, but also our treasures. What you've blessed our lives with, it came from you, it's already yours, but in our obedience to you, we come and we give some back to you. And we humbly ask that these gifts that we've placed here at this altar, you bless, and that they multiply in only way that you can do, to the continuation of the work you've called us to do, of building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and spreading the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, to all that needs to hear it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Girls, we heard a lot this weekend, didn't we? And one of the things we heard about was, what about me? What about me? What about me? And Joy shared this, and some of you may remember this song. I don't, but it's okay. I can't be happy. Okay, so help me sing it. I can't be happy until I make you happy too. I couldn't sing it right, but how we can't be happy until we make him happy. And how do we make him happy? We give generously, and he calls us to be generous givers, and it's not all about me. And how we fall into that, right? I do. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. What about me? Like, why isn't he doing the dishes? What about me? Why doesn't somebody else clean off these counters? What about me? So this was from a perspective of what we shared with one another. The godly quality of generosity. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. There is the one who generously scatters abroad and yet increases all the more. And there is the one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. So there's one that is a generous giver, and then there's another one that withholds because they think, what about me? They withhold it. The generous man is a source of blessing and shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sown. Amen. So generosity is an attitude of gladly sharing whatever we might have, regardless of our wealth. And scripture reveals that uphanded is an attribute of God. That generosity spirit, that lavishness is an attribute of God. And as part of his transformation plan for us as believers, the Father desires that we develop a generosity spirit. Amen? That we don't just be takers, but we also be givers of those things that he has so generously lavished us with. It doesn't have to be all about the money. It's encouragement. It is our time, our gifts, our talents, and our treasures. A big-hearted approach to our time and our material goods starts by giving ourselves to God. We can't give it unless we receive it. When we accept that he owns everything, we will be able to hold our share more loosely, but the choice to nurture generosity is based on our trust. instead of adding figures to see what little amount might safely be set aside, Christians should sacrificially by faith. In Hebrews 13, it says, "Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased." And the Lord responds by supplying enough to cover the gift of our own need. Not only through giving do we learn that we can never outgive God. Amen. Amen. I loved it. So let's prepare our hearts in an attitude of prayer. And this is my Bible. This is my Bible. It is the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Amen. Yes, Rachel. Comparison is the thief of contentment. Amen. We had a blessed weekend, if you couldn't tell.
Let us pray. Today we come to worship you. We come to study your word and follow your lead in our lives. Help us to do just that. May the words of my mouth be the message you have for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first scripture today is taken from the Old Testament of Isaiah. Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9 is what I'm going to be reading. The scriptures here talk about Israel's disobedience to God, that they did not attend to assisting the weak, being responsive to God, follow God's direction, or be obedient to him, but instead rebelled against him. Like the prophet's servants endured with great determination the suffering inflicted on them, this description predicted the type of treatment Jesus would suffer. Christ was sinless. He also nullifies the charge brought against any who believe in him. Ultimately, servants will be honored by God. So Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9 read as follows. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. I have offered back to those who beat me my cheeks, to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking or spitting, because the sovereign Lord helps me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. The sovereign Lord who helps me, who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment, and moths will eat them up. Our next scripture is from Psalms. It's the whole 19th Psalm. So Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a hymn extolling the majestic glory of God, as displayed in the heavens and the law of the Lord, which blesses lives of those who heed it. An attached prayer asks God to provide what his law cannot, forgiveness for hidden faults, and shepherd's care that preserve from willful sins. The song completes the cycle of praise for the Lord's saving acts, for his glory reflected in creation, and for his life nurturing law. Psalm 19 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived from its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold and much purer gold. They are sweeter than honey, that honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Do you know how much God loves you? He waits to hear from you every day. He wants it and is always there, even when he thinks you're not, or when you think he's not, I should say. And even when the busyness of the life distracts you from him, he is always right there within your touch. Sometimes we ask the Lord, how shall I pray? Are tears prayers, Lord? Are screams prayers? Or groans or sighs or curses? Can trembling hands be lifted to you or clenched fists? Will you accept my prayers, Lord? My real prayers? Rooted in the muck and mud and rock of my life, and not just my pretty cut flower, gracefully arranged bouquet of words. Will you accept me, Lord, as I really am, messed up mixture of glory and grime? Lord, help me. Help me to trust that you do accept me as I am, that I may be done with self-condemnation and self-pity. Help me to accept you as you are, Lord, mysterious, hidden, strange, unknowable, and to accept myself as you accept me. A friend sent me this. I read it, and I wanted to share this with you, but it helps answer some of these questions, what I just read. And it goes something like this. This is the Lord speaking, God speaking here. I watched her today. Like I always do. She rolled out of bed and slipped her slippers on. She trudged into the bathroom to start her normal routine. She grew frustrated when a piece of hair wouldn't curl right, and she got mascara on her eyelid. After finishing, she looked into the mirror and smiled. Not the smile she gets when watching babies or puppies, but the smile that she smiles to convince herself everything is okay. She sighed and started her day. I wish she heard me when I whispered, "You're one of my best creations," but she didn't. She was already pouring herself a cup of hot coffee and running about her day. She ran out the door without grabbing breakfast, as she thought that lunch would taste better if she knew that she hadn't wasted calories on breakfast. Lunch came, and I was looking forward to our talks we always have before she eats. But a co-worker distracted her, and she forgot about it. I blessed her food anyway. She was exhausted when she got home, but made time to go to the gym and get a workout in. She was determined to lose the 10 pounds I had given her during the summer pool parties, dinner catching up with family and friends, and the s'mores she had talking and laughing around the fire. I tried telling her she was perfect during her treadmill time, but the music in her earbuds drowned me out. Dinner came and went without a word from her. She's been very busy today, and she always talks to me before bed. I look forward to it every day. She crawled into bed, and sure enough, she said, "Hi, missed you today. I'm sorry I got busy and forgot about our conversations, I reminded her that I was there the whole time. She promised to try harder tomorrow, and although I already know how tomorrow will be, I whispered, "I'll be there tomorrow too." How many times do we think God's not there for us? And that we get in our busy day and we just keep going on. But God's right there waiting on you. He excuses you for the things that you don't do that you usually do. He excuses you for not talking to him when you need him or when you're too busy to talk to him. But God is always there. He's told you that. He'll never leave you or forsake you, right? Isn't that what they said? But God is always there. I want to go to the New Testament, Mark 8, 27 through 38. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. In this part of the scripture, Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus predicts his death, the way of the cross. All that is part of this. Starting with verse 27, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, just one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man will suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, but that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Forever who wants to save their lives will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. That's my king."
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
Who do you say that he is? John 14:13 reads, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? Some may use this phrase as a standard conclusion to their prayers and not really realize the significance of it. Praying in Jesus' name, however, represents the foundation of our prayers to and the relationship with the Father. When we pray in his name, we pray according to Jesus' access. Christ's death atoned for our sins and ushered us into the presence of the Father. We can approach the Lord because he made us spiritually alive and able to interact with him. Jesus' advocacy. Like an appointed court attorney, Christ represents us wisely and intercedes for us before the Father in a way that honors him and blesses us. This isn't a blank check, but a call for his wise leadership. Jesus' authority. Our prayers are influential because Christ's sovereign power is at work on our behalf. The voice that spoke to the universe into existence provides the way for his will to be carried out in our lives. You pray in Jesus' name because it represents his access, advocacy, and authority. There is wisdom and power in your prayers because he carries them. So the next time you pray, remember that. And make sure to give him the praise. Our final scripture is from the book of James, Taming the Tongue. James 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. But when we put bits into the mouth of horses, we make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so long and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body that corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. When the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? neither can salt spring produce fresh water. This scripture talks to us about controlling our tongues. Our tongue is difficult to control. Our tongue is the cause of so many sins. Those who control it perfectly gain control of themselves in all areas as well. Only a renewed heart can produce pure speech. Allow Jesus to help us by allowing his lead. As I close today, I want to add one more thought. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, many people followed him as he preached, ministered, and did miracles. But as the cross neared, only a few remained by his side. Most of the people returned to their everyday routines because they had sought him for their own reasons, for healing, provision, and deliverance from Rome. Of course, Jesus did cure their illnesses, but the real healing was achieved on the cross. Jesus did feed the hungry, but his ultimate purpose was to satisfy our spiritual hunger and thirst. Jesus did come to deliver us, but Satan's grip rather than earthly authority. We need to make sure that we're following Jesus today, not for just his blessings, but because he is God who truly knows what we need. Because there will come a time when there will be no visible sign of blessing, when every comfort may be removed and tribulation may come because of our faith in him. If you follow Christ for any other reason than because he is the promised Messiah, you'll be sorely disappointed. He is the Lord and King of creation and worthy of your love, respect, and devotion. That is what will sustain you when the difficulties arrive. Remember, our hope is in Jesus because he is the living God. Who do you say that he is? Amen. God will make a way, right? Who do you say that God is? Is he the one that's there beside you and for you and always there with you? Amen. But do we always let the world around us get his way or the way of our communicating with him? We need to remember that. Because even when we don't take time to speak with him, he's right there for us. But he delights when you can tell others about him. He delights when somebody's lost and you can help them find direction by using him. Because the only way he's going to spend eternity with them is if they believe in him and they go to him. Only way to go to heaven is through him. Amen? So have a great week. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a little warm, I think, but have a great day. Enjoy your week. See you again next Sunday.